If you're going to use the Pew Bible, page 61 of the New Testament, if you're going to use the handout, it is printed there for you. If you're using your own Bibles, you may find that it's a little bit of a different wording, because I am reading the New American Standard Bible. Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, "Come immediately and sit down to eat"? But will he not say to him, "Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink"? He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded him, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, "We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done." Now, in the title, you see the transliteration of the word slave from the Greek as doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S. You'll be seeing that a couple of times as we go through this passage. Now, as we approach this, we can see at verse 1, he said to his disciples. Now, at verse 7, Jesus is still talking, still teaching, but we're not quite sure to whom he would be addressing, which of you having a slave? Because a bunch of guys following Jesus around, highly unlikely they have a slave. And so when we look at this, it's like, okay, how are we going to relate to this? Particularly since we don't have any slaves. What are we supposed to do with this? Well, most of us know something about slavery, but generally we have no personal knowledge of either a slave or a slave owner. It's just, that's not our culture now. And so we don't have any personal knowledge of that. So, first century people, particularly because of Rome, first century people would have understood slavery. Either because they knew somebody that Rome had taken in order to be a slave, or they were a slave themselves, or perhaps there may have been a couple who had owned a slave. But they would have known something, and it would have been personal. However, for us, our closest experiences about that stuff might be television or movies. Because even with the news, they don't really say much of anything about that kind of thing. I mean, they may report on some group who just rounded up people from a village or children from a school and the concern that they might be taken into slavery. But that's about as far as that part goes. But there are television shows or movies that have dealt with slavery. And yet, was slavery like that? I remember a number of years ago when Mel Gibson put out the movie the Passion of the Christ. Somebody said to me, you know, that scene where they were whipping Jesus? Do you think that was realistic? And I replied, no, I don't. And the person was kind of surprised. So, you don't think that was realistic? I said, no. If it had been realistic, you would have thrown up. It was far worse than that. And so, what do we know about slavery? I think it had to be worse than whatever it is that we do know. And so, we might get some ideas about being a servant as opposed to being a slave because we've watched shows like Downton Abbey. You know, there are the wealthy people up there in the dining room and people coming around and serving them and, you know, would you like three or four and, you know, whatever. And then, you know, they're standing around waiting for whatever it is that their jobs are. And then afterward, the wealthy people move to a different room. The servants clear everything out. And then they go downstairs and they eat. So, you know, we know those kinds of things, but there's still so much that we do not know. Fact of the matter is that culture and literature never did focus much attention on slaves or servants. Culture and literature focused more on the served than the servants. And so as we deal with this passage, Luke 17:7-10, it records Jesus dealing with the mindsets of both the slave owner and the slave. Now, some of it is a little easier to see, but that's how it is with a lot of things in Scripture. Some of it is just obvious. Some of it needs a little help for us to see. And so verses 7, 8, and 9, the slave owner's mindset. Get into the mind, the concept, his way of life, if you will. In verses 7 and 9, the word slave is mentioned. And that's the doulos from the title. But when you see it written in Greek, that's the top line there. The Greek word is doulos. Now, you know that I don't just throw stuff up there so that you can go home and say, wow, Pastor Wagner really has done some study. I do it so that we can benefit from things like this. Now, depending upon which version or translation you use regularly, in fact, the one in front of you today, the text might say servant, slave, bond servant, or bond slave. All of those could be the translation from this word. Why would it make a difference? Well, sometimes we think back to grammar and literature from high school and remember that the teacher would write little notes on our essays and things like, try to use different wording now and then. You know, you don't always want to say exactly the same words all the time. Give it a little variety. Doesn't mean the concept is different, but, you know, a little variety. But that's the basic word. And I don't know exactly which Bible you use most of the time, but it's going to be one of those. So this word can refer to a person who has been made a slave, but it is absolutely the word that is going to refer to a person who is born into slavery, the child of a slave, a doulos, if you will. Now, the reason a slave owner has a slave is for the purpose of accomplishing some kind of work. A slave owner does not buy a slave because he believes that owning a slave is going to give him brownie points somewhere. He doesn't do it so that he can look at the person and say, I bought that person. He's doing it because he wants work done. This particular text is speaking of plowing or tending sheep. It also refers to cooking, preparing a meal, and serving at the table, and so forth. Something is going to get done. And in that sense, we can recognize this role something along the lines of an employee, but not an employee because this person is a slave. An employee is a whole nother situation. Now, a lot of times this is going to be just flat out grunt work. Out there toiling, laboring, sweating every day. But there were people who might buy a slave because they know that that slave has some type of skilled labor and therefore can produce benefit in another way. Whether that would be carpentry, whether that would be perhaps jewel making, maybe this person knows that a particular slave that he has purchased has a really good education, and therefore he is going to use this slave to put out calligraphy cards. You know, you want people coming to your party? You come over here, and for this amount of money, my slave will do all that fancy stuff so you can hand out these wonderful invitations, and everybody's going to look at you and say, wow. So, could be grunt work, could be skilled labor. Difficult to know sometimes. So, let's look at what Jesus presents as the common mindset for a slave owner. And if you have not noticed anywhere along the way, the construction of a question often gives the idea of what the anticipated answer is. You know, it's like, well, you did want some dessert after dinner, didn't you? The anticipated answer is, yes, I wanted dessert after dinner. Likewise, if it's constructed a different way, we're understanding that the anticipated answer is no. And so look at this. We have in verse 7, which of you will say? And we go, which of you will? You know, I do believe that is constructed with the anticipated answer being none of us. None of us are going to say that. We go to verse 8, but will he not say the anticipation, the anticipated answer is yes, of course he will say. And so we're understanding a little something about the mindset of this slave owner. I mean, after all, isn't it really all about me anyway? It's kind of one of those things. Now, don't raise your hand if you had a boss like that, by the way. But they're out there. It's about me. You realize, of course, that the way you spoke to that customer was a bad reflection on my department, etc. So, you know, that's the mindset. Now, what have we been leading up to? Well, we're going to look up front here. Doulos, slave, has no rights. Can you say it loud enough? Not really. No rights. You go, well, there's got to be something, isn't there? Well, no rights. He only has responsibilities. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. This is where you're going to do it. This is when it needs to be done. That looks like more than I can do in one day. So, stay until it's finished. Well, what's the big deal? You mean, but I'll be here all night. Well, I'll see you in the morning then. You know, it's just that kind of a thing. So, socially speaking, the doulos, the slave, is at the bottom rung of all society. There is only one way to be lower, and that is 6 feet lower. It's called dead. This person gets a meal after what? After everything. You know, if there is something to be done, it must be done before the slave eats. He does not get a chance to look at the menu. Oh, what would you like tonight? Hot turkey sandwich? Well, you know what? We have a special on filet mignon today. No. You don't get a chance to look at a menu. In fact, some slaves only get enough food to keep starvation at arm's length, and not enough to truly be healthy. And so, he gets back from the field so that he can change uniforms and serve supper and provide beverage for the slave owner. Anybody looking to apply for this job? No, thank you. So, whatever he's doing, it's all got to get done, and then he can eat. And verse 9, he does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded. Does he? No, he does not. So, years ago, as this topic came up with various passages, Lee and I have discussed what's a good illustration for a slave, a doulos. And I'm not saying that you're going to see the world's best illustration, but you're going to see a good one. I have three pictures for you. Oops. Yep. There we go. Anybody know what that is? Tennis court. Do you expect that you're going to find a doulos, or maybe a couple of them, on a tennis court? Well, certainly, Pastor, that's why you put the picture up there. Yeah, yeah, you got it. So, we've got the crowd all around, and they're watching this tennis match, all right? Now, the second picture, we're going to get in a little closer, try to filter out the crowd. So, we've got one player over here, we've got a player over here, and right here, there's a person called a referee or umpire. What? Chair umpire. There you go. And, you know, you still see these people back here. And we know that on the ends and along the sides, there are photographers and et cetera. Do you see a doulos or two? You think? Next picture. They be the doulos. Why do I say that this is a good illustration of a doulos? They're there. They know what their job is. When somebody needs them, they jump out there. They do their job. And quote, then they disappear. Do they draw attention to themselves? No. They do their job and they get out of the way. The focus is not on them. Now, there probably is another good illustration, but that's one that I really like. So, another slide here. On the left, there are a bunch of cities. And on the right, there are a bunch of open spaces. Anybody recognize those city names for anything in particular? I see one head shook. For what? Which city? Fort Lauderdale and Spring Break. I like that. Okay. There was one over here. You were... Oh, you can't see it. Okay. Canton, Ohio. Charlotte, North Carolina. Cleveland, Ohio. Cooperstown, New York. Baseball. Thank you. Davis, California. Yeah, I heard football there. Elkhart, Indiana. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Fort Worth, Texas. Indianapolis, Indiana. Long Beach, Washington. Anybody know that there was a Long Beach in Washington? No, anyway. Never mind. Nashville, Tennessee. Newport, Rhode Island. Pinehurst, North Carolina. Springfield, Massachusetts. Tombstone, Arizona. And Whiting, Indiana. So I heard about two, maybe three. I think I know what that city is. Okay, next slide. Pro Football Hall of Fame. NASCAR Hall of Fame. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum. National Baseball Hall of Fame. United States Bicycling Hall of Fame. RV and Mobile Home Hall of Fame. Now, there's one. There's one for you. Okay. International Swimming Hall of Fame. National Cowgirl Museum and Hall of Fame. Indianapolis Motor Speedway Museum and Hall of Fame. World Kite Museum and Hall of Fame. Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum. International Tennis Hall of Fame and Museum. Professional Golfer of America Hall of Fame. Basketball Hall of Fame. Gunfighter Hall of Fame. And National Mascot Hall of Fame. Did you ever? And I didn't even put all of them up there. Okay? Now, you ready for this question? Why is there no Doulos Hall of Fame? Why is there no Doulos Hall of Fame? No one believes a Doulos is worthy of recognition. That's why there's no Doulos Hall of Fame. No recognition. Doesn't deserve it. And so, from this slave owner's mindset, the application, the earthly slave owner is egocentric. He cares about himself, and pretty much no one else matters. It is all about what do I get out of it. That's it. Now, let's look at a slave's mindset. In many ways, the slave's mindset conforms to the slave owner's mindset. We saw this a little bit back. Doulos has no rights. He owns nothing. Everything that he has or uses belongs to his owner, and he is responsible for its use and care. He has responsibilities without any rights or authority. He can't quit or look for another job. It doesn't matter whether or not he likes his job. He is on call 24/7, 365. No paycheck, no holiday pay because he gets no days off. No vacation pay because he gets no vacation. No seniority, no nothing. Just responsibility. Does Doulos expect to receive a thank you from the slave owner? Absolutely not. No. The only attention that he's going to get is if it isn't done properly. It's not going to be a thank you anywhere. Doulos is under constant surveillance and evaluation regarding the job he does. Do you ever feel like that? Sometimes we do. Doulos expects no praise for a job well done, only rebuke or punishment for an inadequate performance. But boss, I came in second place. You bum! It's that kind of a thing. Doulos never will hear, "We had a very good year. Here's your bonus." Because it's all about responsibility. We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done, is what it says in verse 10. We are unworthy. Only that which we ought to have done. There are words that come in here like unprofitable, unworthy, not deserving praise, even the word useless. And then the word ought. Ought speaks of obligation, the minimum. And the application here, a doulos has a type of job security. There are only two ways he can lose his job: being sold to a different owner or dying. Other than that, guaranteed a job. Well, I realize that this third part isn't quite readable in the text, but we need to add it. It is the kingdom mindset. Because yes, Jesus talks about earthly stuff, but he talks about heavenly messages and heavenly meaning also. And so here, the kingdom mindset. God the Father paid the price through the Lord Jesus Christ in order to purchase each believer as his doulos. We don't like that concept. It's like, wait, hold it here, Pastor. I thought Jesus freed me from sin. Well, by faith, Jesus freed us as believers from sin. Yes, that's true. But Jesus did not free us so that we could go off on our own and do what we pleased. That's how we came up with the sin debt in the first place. We have hymns that express this very idea about how with his blood he purchased us. So, as believers, we are now a doulos for God the Father. Now, if we look over the slave's mindset from a kingdom perspective, we're going to find some interesting things. We look at that stuff and we go, okay, no pay, no vacation, no bonuses, no time off. As a believer in Jesus, we are on the clock 24/7, 365. We slip at one moment. What have we just done? We have failed in our obligation to God the Father, our owner. It's that kind of a thing. So, the next thing here, no believer in the Lord Jesus Christ claims kingdom rank. Now, you have some references there under this section, the kingdom mindset. We're going to show you some verses up here. Romans 1:1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. He calls himself a doulos. And you probably have read on several occasions where Paul has written in a letter to somebody something along the lines of, God forbid that I not preach the gospel. He's saying, he gave me the obligation to do it. I must do it. So, there's Paul. In Philippians, Paul and Timothy, bondservants, doulos of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. So he doesn't just do it once. This is now twice. The next one. When he writes to Titus, Paul, a bondservant of God, a doulos, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness. Okay? That's three. Next slide. Peter. You remember Peter? Peter's the apostle with hoof and mouth disease. He constantly was putting his foot in his own mouth while he was a disciple of Jesus. He was always saying stuff he regretted. And here he is, years later, Simon Peter, a doulos, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so Peter calls himself a doulos. Next slide. In Revelation, the Apostle John wrote this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. Did you ever read that and stop there? The revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to Jesus Christ. You go, I think you lost me. The revelation concerning Jesus Christ is where we're going here. To show to his doulos the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his doulos, John. So we have Paul, we have Peter, and now we have John. Next slide. James 1:1. Give you a little hint on this one. I put it on the front of the minivan. This verse right here. James, a doulos of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Who's James? The half-brother of Jesus. If there is someone who can claim some rank, he could say, I've known Jesus all my life. And humanly speaking, that was true. But it was only after the resurrection of Jesus that James came to faith in his Savior. He doesn't say, yo, folks, I'm the half-brother of Jesus, you ought to listen. He says, James, a doulos. We got one more. Jude, a doulos of Jesus Christ and brother of James. You know what that says? This guy grew up in the same house too. I've known Jesus all my life, but I didn't come to faith until after the resurrection. In fact, you can read portions of scripture where James and Jude say to Jesus, oh, aren't you going up to the festival so they can see your miracles? that intonation is not in the pages of Scripture, by the way. But that's, you know, that's what they were doing. He's willing to call himself a brother to James, but he still calls himself a doulos. No rank in the kingdom. And so the application here in the kingdom mindset, I am an unworthy doulos. I have done only what I ought to have done. And what good I did in your power, not mine. Because I got nothing on my own. And so the conclusion, is a doulos pretty low? Most of the time the answer is yes. But a doulos to the King of Kings is a great position to hold. Many, many years ago, I made the commitment that I would be serving God. I may not have known quite how it was going to be or where it was going to be, but I made the commitment. I came to understand as the years went on things like a doulos has no rights. And so, when other people went, Lord, why me? I was thinking to myself, I have no rights. Why not me? I got nothing special. I need to follow my owner and do all that I'm obligated to do. No time off, etc. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we consider these four verses, there's some pretty powerful stuff here, Father. We don't claim to comprehend it completely, but we do pray that you would keep working on our hearts and minds so that we would understand it better. And not only that we would understand it better, but that we would do it better. That there would be nothing that comes in our lives that we question why. Because you have a purpose. We just don't know what it is. Father, make us willing to be willing. Amen.